If you had met the resurrected Jesus along the Emmaus Road, would you have recognized him? Surely yes, you might say. But think again. Even some of his disciples did not know to whom they were speaking. Today, join us for a look inward as we seek to make sure we personally hear the voice of the risen Son of God. From Chicago, this is the Moody Church Hour, a weekly service of worship and teaching under the ministry of Dr. Erwin Lutzer. On this Resurrection Sunday, you'll hear a thrilling performance of part of Brahms' A German Requiem, celebrating the hope of the redeemed and the eternality of God's Word. Later in our program, Dr. Lutzer's message will be on resurrected dreams. The Moody Church Handbell Ensemble comes now to open our service.
Thank you. When Brahms wrote his Requiem, he did not write it for the dead, but for the living. You'll notice in it the contrast between the fact that all flesh is as grass, it passes away, but the word of God endures forever. And then it speaks about the final triumph of the redeemed. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You have been born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever.
Thank you. Let's stand for the reading of Scripture, and we will continue to stand afterward as we sing together. Our sin, we have learned this morning, has given us an inheritance of withering flesh and fading glory. But God has sent an enduring message of hope. Let us proclaim it together. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Christ has risen indeed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia.
all the disappointments of life, I believe that there is none greater than to be disappointed with Jesus Christ. We pray and the prayer is not answered. We seek justice and justice does not come. We have our hopes up and somehow our hopes are dashed and our dreams lie broken on the floor. In the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there's a story of some disciples bitterly disappointed in Jesus. If you have your Bibles for just a few moments, and it will be a few moments, you can take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24. It is page 884 in the Pew Bible. It's the story of two disciples disappointed because Jesus was crucified and they thought that it was the tragic end of a beautiful life. And so to get out of Jerusalem and to contain their sadness, they took a 7-mile walk to the town of Emmaus. As they are walking along, Jesus himself, the resurrected Jesus, falls in line with them and talks to them, but they do not recognize him. It says in verse 13 of Luke 24, that very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So he pretends he doesn't know why they're sad. And they tell him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard what's going on? And they spill out their sadness and their depression. They end in verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, and beside this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Oh, some women, they went to the tomb and it was empty. But in those days, who believed the report of women? Verse 25, Jesus speaks to them and becomes their counselor. They were so sad, they thought that they would never smile again. We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. We trusted that he was the Messiah. He had the marks of a redeemer, but he did not redeem. And the reason that they felt so deeply is because they loved so deeply. And because of that, they thought now that everything had collapsed around them. Jesus picks up their dreams, as it were, and begins to talk with them. And he becomes their counselor as he walks. Oh, foolish ones, he says in verse 25, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you have liked to have heard that conversation? Jesus went through the Old Testament and explained how that the Messiah had to suffer first. He's saying to them, you should not have been surprised at what happened in Jerusalem. Jesus had to suffer before he entered into his glory. The cross would have to precede the crown. And they needed to understand, and they should have understood, that the purpose for Jesus Christ's coming as Messiah is to die on that cross. I can imagine Jesus perhaps beginning with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it says that the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent. And Jesus said to them, don't you understand that that's a prediction of Messiah coming, crushing the serpent? And then I can imagine that perhaps Jesus took them to the 22nd chapter of Genesis and says, you know that when Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, you remember that animal that was caught in the thicket, that ram who was offered instead of Isaac? That's a picture of Messiah dying in the place of his people, that they will not have to endure eternal death. And then I can imagine that Jesus took them to the 12th chapter of Exodus. And he said, you know, the blood that was put on the doorpost of the houses of the Jewish people there in Egypt, don't you understand that that lamb died in the place of the firstborn? And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the death of the lamb was in behalf of someone else. And in the very same way, the Messiah is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he must die upon a cross. Because the Bible says the soul that sins, that soul must die, and we will die an eternal death unless someone bears our penalty, and that's why Jesus died. Don't you understand this? Jesus is saying to them. And then they go on a little further, and they come almost to their home. It says in verse 28, they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he broke the bread and blessed it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh, they said, this was Jesus who was walking with us. This was our man. He is resurrected. Now, there are unbelievers who have problems with a vanishing Jesus. They say, you mean to say you think that Jesus just vanished? The reason some people have a problem with a vanishing Jesus is because they don't believe in a divine Jesus. A divine Jesus, of course he can vanish. The molecular structure of Jesus Christ's resurrection body was different. It was the kind of body that could go through doors. Now, mind you, he could be in only one place at one time with his body. With his spirit, of course, Jesus is everywhere. But with his body, only one place at one time. And so they begin to discuss with themselves, and they say, didn't our hearts burn within us? And they chide one another. Why didn't we understand that we are here with the risen Christ? And so that very night, they go back to Jerusalem. Now, they may have been fearful because it was night and it was 7 miles, but they had met the risen Jesus, and they need not have feared. And so they come back and they tell the disciples, guess our story. And the disciples are saying, you won't believe our story because we saw him too. Jesus arose and he appeared to Simon. And then they told about their experience. And suddenly, when they're having this discussion, Jesus appears and says, peace be unto you. And they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. They thought that he was a ghost. He said, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And then he says, if you still think that I'm a ghost, do you have any fish? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, the Bible says, and he ate it. His resurrection body was a physical body recreated with properties that your body and mine today do not have. It was a permanent, eternal body, and the Bible says that someday we shall have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus physically rose from the dead. Those were not his bones in that ossuary in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Like I like to say, no bones about it. He was raised from the dead. And you see, the reason that we find in the gospel story that the stone was rolled away from the tomb was not to let Jesus out. Because with his new resurrection body, he could go through stones and doors. It was to let the disciples in, to let them see that Jesus Christ had arisen. What's going on here in this story? What's it all about? Well, Jesus, why did he disappear? He disappeared because he wanted the disciples to understand something, that he is with them even when they do not see him. Physically, he can only be in one place at one time, but by his spirit, because he is God, he is just as much with us today as he was with those disciples when he went along the road. And when he went with them to Emmaus, he was with them in body, but he was just as much with them when they left Emmaus and walked back to Jerusalem in the dead of night. Jesus is with his people. My wife and I know someone who is telling us, he said, you know, my mother died, and she died in the apartment all alone and was found about a day or two later. And he was thinking of how tragic it was that she died alone, but she was a believer in Jesus. I said to him, she didn't die alone. In fact, it's not just that Jesus meets us at the parted curtain on the other side. It's even better than that. Jesus walks with us on this side of the curtain, takes us by the hand, and leads us on the other side of death. And he is with his people. But today I may be speaking to someone, and you're like these disciples. Your eyes cannot behold Jesus. You do not recognize him. He may be walking past you, and you say to yourself, I do not recognize Jesus. I go throughout all of my life without recognizing that he is the Savior. Well, today Jesus may be knocking on the door of your life. He said this to the church. To the church at Laodicea, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, just like this. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and I'll have fellowship with him and he will have fellowship with me. We'll eat a meal together. You see, Jesus knocks at the door of our lives, and sometimes he knocks by when we attend a funeral and we realize the seriousness of life and knowing that we will go in the same direction and we too will die, and we're reminded of the reality of death, and Jesus knocks. Sometimes he knocks because in moments of honesty, we are awash with guilt and we realize that we ought to really despise our sin, but instead we love our sin. And so Jesus knocks on the doors of our life and says, don't you realize that you need a Savior? Don't you realize that I am here as the one who is able to forgive you and take you to my Father? And then there are times when Jesus knocks on an occasion such as this. We've gathered together in his name today. We have celebrated. We have heard a marvelous testimony of God's saving grace, of how he not only forgives us, but transforms us, gives us new desires. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's what the gospel does. And today, Jesus brought you to this moment. It is not an accident that you are here today. Perhaps you were brought by friends, perhaps you're a regular attender, but no matter where you are, if you've never responded to Jesus, I urge you today to do it. You'll notice that the text says, he made as if he would have gone further. He acted as if he was going past them, and then they urged him. Do you want Jesus to pass you by today, or do you want to receive his forgiveness and his love? Remember, the suffering precedes the glory because he had to die on the cross for our sins and make a satisfaction for sins so that we could be reconciled to God. He died in the place of those who believe in him. That is the message of the gospel and the triumph of the resurrection. I have a friend who does some skiing on Mont Blanc in France, and he said that there is this gorgeous mountain. In fact, my wife and I saw it one day from a distance, all of that white, light snow. And he said that there's a house there that always intrigued him, because even though the house faces the mountain, he says that the shutters are always closed. That's the way some people are. All of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, they hear it, but they tune it out. Their shutter is closed. You've met people like that who just don't get it. They just don't get it. Today I'm going to invite you to open the shutter and look at the light. Look at Jesus, and whatever you are, do not be content with keeping that shutter closed. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and we'll eat together. That's the invitation that Jesus extends to you and to me today. Would you bow your head in prayer? Today, Jesus is in this lovely sanctuary. Today, you have been brought to this hour and to this moment. Would you say, Lord Jesus, today I open my life to you and I receive you as my Savior. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that you are a Savior. Let's have a moment of silence while you can pray that prayer. Father, we ask that all those who are gathered in your presence may know today that we have the opportunity of inviting you in and not letting you pass by. Today, Father, show us our great need and show us how beautifully you meet it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, exalted, triumphant, God of very God. We thank you for that today. And ask that in grace and strength you might help us to live all of our lives for his glory and honor. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.
On today's Moody Church Hour, we heard the music and message of the resurrection of Jesus. The Moody Choir and Orchestra set the stage for Dr. Erwin Lutzer's message on resurrected dreams. Next week, we begin a four-part series from the Psalms on the topic, When God Shows Himself, beginning in Psalm 2, When the Sun is Crowned. Plan to join us. Today's message can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to the Moody Church Hour. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. Ask about resurrected dreams when you call 1-800-215-5001. Or you can write to us at the Moody Church, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois 60611. You can also go online at moodyoffer.com. That's moodyoffer, all one word, .com. Join us next week for another Moody Church Hour with Dr. Erwin Lutzer and the Congregation of Historic Moody Church in Chicago. This broadcast is a ministry of the Moody Church.